Good to have each and every one of you here today. And as we approach God now, I would ask you to turn off the world for just a little while. Those things that have been weighing you down, the work, the worry, push them aside for a little bit so that you can hear the Lord speaking to you. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given, that you have made. You've given it to us. So, Lord, we want to spend some time now in your word and in your truth, and we want you to speak. We promise, with your help, to listen. So bless us now as we come before you, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I like holidays. Anybody out there like holidays? Yes, they're fun. It's good to have some time off. It's good to enjoy some time with family. But one thing about holidays these days is they cost money. Have you noticed that? Did you ever stop to think about which holiday hits your pocketbook the most? Do you know? Let's do some guessing. I hear some guessing going on. Which one do you think is the most expensive holiday we got? You got it. Christmas is the number one. Oh my goodness. There's a lot of money that goes into making Christmas special. You know what number two is, though? I'm hearing a few good guesses. Number two kind of surprised me. It costs a lot to put the meal together for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is number two on the list of how much money that we spend on holidays. Number three, we're going to see which ones we spend the most on. I heard this one earlier. It is a very special day for those who are in love. Valentine's Day costs a lot to get those flowers and candy, especially last minute when many of us have forgotten, fellas. What's number four? Do you know the number four most expensive holiday out there? Yes, one we just celebrated last month. We've got Mother's Day as number four. Now we're getting down the list quite a few here. What's number five? Do you know the number five most expensive holiday that we spend money buying things for? I haven't heard it yet. No, Easter, actually. We spend money on Easter and making it special. And then, folks, bringing up the rear comes Father's Day. Number six. How do you like that, fellas? At least we beat out Halloween. At least we got that one. So what do you think? Is it tough to buy gifts for Father's Day? It's going to be kind of hard. Is it tough to even remember this holiday? Do we ever forget it? Well, it's time to pick on my wife for a little bit. Most times when I tell stories about our family, it's most times about my mistakes and my blunders. So I know after these 4 years, many of you have probably thought, that Jeanette is just perfect. She's very close, very close. However, there was this one time. Years ago, I used to always be the camp pastor at Single Moms and Kids Camp down at Broken Arrow Ranch. But every year I was asked to do that, and I loved it, had a great time. The kids would come with me when we go to camp, and we would enjoy all the camp staff and all the fun down there at Broken Arrow Ranch. I hope some of you young people are planning on heading there this summer. But most years for Single Moms and Kids Camp, the conference would plan that camp to happen this weekend. It usually happened on Father's Day weekend. Well, one of those years, Sunday came, and we got up, we ate breakfast, we went to the chapel, and I spoke for my final time. We visited with people, we packed up the car, we said our goodbyes, we got in the car and started driving back to Kansas City, and we drove for quite a while. We were in the car driving and listening to the radio, and eventually a DJ came on the radio and started talking about Father's Day. And Jeanette's jaw dropped, and her eyes widened, and she said, "Happy, happy Father's Day! I'm so sorry." So sometimes we can forget. And Father's Day can be a tough holiday to know what to do with. We may even forget it. But the biggest question for many of us is, what should I get my dad for Father's Day? What does dad want? I don't know. Buying gifts for your dad can be tough. What are the most popular gifts that dad gets? Ah, yes. There's a few gifts out there that are kind of standbys. We can always get him another tool because he likes to fix things, or he certainly always needs another shirt, right? And buy him another shirt, or the ever popular, the fallback one. We can always get him a tie. Number one dad is what that tie says there. Most dads already have what they need. I know with my dad, if he wants something at this point in his life, he has the money to go out and get it. So what do you buy someone like that? Well, I have to give some kudos to my wife now to make sure I don't get in trouble later. She more than made up for missing that one Father's Day, because years later, this was a different Father's Day came around, and she shared an idea with my mom, and both my mom and her bought tickets, airline tickets, for me and my dad, and they came too, and they flew us to New York City. And then we got in the cab and we went. Where am I going to go in New York City? They took us to a Yankee game. So it was just the first time either of us were able to see a game there, and we were able to see a game in Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium, before they tore it down. Very awesome present. She more than made up for that forgetfulness years prior. What do you get dads? A few Sabbaths ago, Ethan and I were chatting in the afternoon, and Ethan said to me, "Dad, wouldn't it be weird for Jesus to try and buy a present for his father?" And I smiled at his thought, and then I kind of blinked, and I said, "Ethan, what a great idea. You just gave me my sermon for Father's Day." And he said, "I did? Cool." What present would Jesus get the Father? You think maybe he'd get him a tie? The best Godfather ever? Is that what he would get the Father? Maybe not. What about a t-shirt? Maybe get the Father a t-shirt. Greatest dad in the universe. Maybe not. Most of us have a hard time buying something for our dads, mostly because they already have what they want. But how does Jesus get something for his Father, who just happens to be God? What can God the Father possibly want? Well, like that video we saw earlier of the men who, even though we have trouble putting it into words, deep down, men want connection. Sons want connection with their dads. And dads, even though we may only show it in rare moments, fathers want connection with their children. The presents are nice. The trips, the candy, the shirts, the ties, the tools, they're all great. But deep down, we just want to be connected to our family. And friends, that's what God the Father wants too. He wants connection. What present will Jesus get God the Father? What does the Father want? Let's look in the Bible for answers. Amen? We're going to start off, if you look at the screen here, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. What does the Father want? It says, "God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." The Father wants us to live, amen? And he wants us to live eternally. John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, "For I have come from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus came to the earth to do the Father's will. He's following God the Father's plan. Now, when did Jesus and the Father plan this mission? Now, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for today, if you'll turn to Ephesians in the New Testament. Hopefully you have a Bible nearby you, or you can scooch over next to someone who does, or turn your phone or your pad on, and let's go look at Ephesians chapter 1 in the New Testament after Galatians And in the Corinthians, you'll find Ephesians, a book that Paul wrote. And I want you to look at the beginning of this letter, the beginning of Paul's letter. Sometimes we skip through them so fast to get to the meat of the letter, but the beginning, the intros are so powerful. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So what was the plan? The plan began even before there was a human being. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus and the Father had a plan in place. And what was the plan? Chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. The plan was to adopt us, all of us. So what present does God the Father want? He wants you. He wants us to be with him. Amen. The Heavenly Father wants to adopt all of us into the heavenly family. And God the Son, Jesus Christ, accepts this mission. John chapter 3, verse 16, these are verses that we have memorized, don't we? We have probably verse 16 memorized, but do you have verse 17 memorized? John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now verse 17, though, says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him we might be saved. That's the mission. And God the Son accepts the mission and comes here. But can Jesus afford what it will cost to adopt us? Can he afford to pay that price? My friends, there is nothing cheap about adoptions in this world. They are expensive. To do an adoption in this world, you have to get lawyer fees and pay those. Lawyers are not cheap, if you didn't know that. There's adoption agencies that you have to work with, and then you have to get airplane tickets to go there. And there's nothing easy about adoptions either. There's a lot of hard work. I heard a testimony of a father who had adopted his child. He also worked as a Secret Service agent, protecting the president. And he said that he had to fill out more paperwork in order to adopt a baby than he did in order to protect our President of the United States. There's nothing easy about adoptions, but they're worth it in the end. God's adoption was not easy, and adopting us was not cheap. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, inasmuch then as the children, that's us, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, that's Jesus, likewise shared in the same. In order to answer this mission and fulfill God's plan and get his Father a present, God the Son had to become like us. To get a present for someone, did you ever have to change yourself in order to do that? To get them a present? Jesus had to become human. Scripture goes on in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, says, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption as sons. To buy our freedom, Jesus had to pay the ultimate price. In order to buy us back as a present to the Father, Jesus gave everything. He paid the price when he suffered for my sins and for your sins, and when he died that horrible, unthinkable death on the cross. Some presents are not cheap. I remember years ago going to buy an engagement ring for Jeanette. I had no clue about jewelry and no idea about rings. And those little guys cost a lot of money. Did you realize that? I didn't realize how much a ring would cost. Some presents aren't cheap. And saving humanity for his Father cost Jesus everything. But I want you to watch this wonderful scene in the Bible. If you turn with me to John chapter 20 now, I want to show you something amazing. Get you to think about this. John chapter 20 is after the cross has happened. This is 3 days later. This is Sunday morning, resurrection morning. Jesus has been brought back to life. He's living again. And he reveals himself to Mary Magdalene, who's been just distraught. And he finally reveals himself, and Mary goes, like this, and she reaches and she wants to grab him. She had lost him, and she's planning to never let him go again. And listen to what he says. In verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus says to her, don't cling to me. He says, I have to know. I have to go see my Father. I have to know if it worked or not. Jesus would not accept worship, and he wouldn't accept being detained by Mary until he knew for sure. So God the Son leaves this planet, and he enters the courts of heaven to stand before the Father. And he stands there and says, Dad, did it work? Can we take them back? And I want you to listen to this from the book Desire of Ages, page 790. Jesus heard from God himself the assurance that his atonement for the sins of humanity had been ample. The Father says, you did it, son. It is enough. Going on from Desire of Ages, it says, the Father ratified the covenant made with Christ that he would receive repentant and obedient man. And listen to this. This is wonderful. That he would receive obedient men and women and would love them even as he loves the Son. We need to hear some amens. He would receive them and love them. That's us, the same way he loves his own Son. Have you ever stopped to picture the look on Jesus' face when he hears that from the Father? He hears the Father say, my son, you did it. It's enough. I will love them even as I love you. What happened to Jesus' face then? Did he smile? Did tears stream down his face when he hears this glorious news? I don't know. Did God the Son, after everything he'd gone through, after everything he went through, did he sink to his knees, overcome with emotion? I don't know. Did God the Son jump in the air and pump his fist in the air triumphantly at his victory? I don't know. But I am sure that our Jesus expressed emotion at hearing this great news. You did it, my boy. You did it, my son. Our plan worked. For most men, becoming a father has a typical setup. Your wife becomes pregnant, and after 9 months, you take her to the hospital. You watch as she goes through extreme pain and agony. You stand there and try not to pass out or say or do anything that will get you punched. Listen, Russ, listen closely. And eventually, you stand there and witness all this, and then your baby comes, and you're a father. It's a typical setup. Becoming a father was never that easy for me. We had several attempts before Ethan came along. And then try as we would, we could not get pregnant again. Most guys just drive to the hospital in order to have their baby. Well, I had to fly on an airplane to Florida. Jeanette and Ethan and I bought tickets one way, and we flew south just on a hope that we could have a baby. We get there with no assurances, just a prayer, just a hope. But we were there. We were there in the room when Johanna entered our world. And I stood there, and I was able to hold her. But it wasn't just as easy as bringing the baby home. Decisions still hung in the balance with our birth family. And at any minute at that time, it could all come crashing down. And then the state governments had to agree that this could happen, this adoption could take place. So we had to wait for weeks for everything to fall into place, knowing that at any moment, something could throw a wrench into the plan, into our dream, and we could lose her. At one point in time, I talked to my mom and dad on the phone who were back in Iowa. And they were so nervous for us, so fearful. And they were praying every day because they were worried that someone would change their mind. So fearful that something would happen. And my dad told me, he said, "Michael, we'll help you in any way we can." Then after the papers were signed and we thought, finally, we can go home. No, we couldn't, because there was a hurricane that blew through Florida, grounded all the flights. So eventually we got clearance to leave, and then we were flying, Jeanette, Ethan, myself, and our brand new baby girl, flying standby after flights had been canceled. One hurdle after another. I remember my mom saying to me on the phone, and her voice cracked a little on the words. And she said, "Michael, just bring her home. Just bring your little girl home." And I said, "I will, Mom. I promise. I'll bring her home." And with God's help, we got her home. God the Father sent his son after his lost children. And he said, "Son, just bring them home. Go and bring them back. Bring them home." And the Son, Jesus, said, "I will, Father. I'll do whatever it takes. I will bring them home." Jesus got a present for his Father. And you are his present. Jesus paid a high price to purchase this present. He paid the price because you're worth it to him. And he paid that price because you're worth it to your heavenly Father. Amen. Friends, in this world, we have our fathers, and they're not perfect. I know I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes, and I'm so thankful for the grace that my family gives me when I make a blunder. And some of us don't have our fathers anymore. We've said goodbye to them. But God tells us, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what connection may have been severed in this life, he says, "I am your heavenly Father." And Jesus says to us that he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And he says, someday soon, he is going to present all of us as a gift to his Father. Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 3, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us here on this world of heartache and pain. He wants you to be with him. My friends, there may be some last-minute Father's Day gifts that are still yet to buy for tomorrow. But I want you to remember, as you get that gift or as you give that gift, I want you to remember that you already are a gift. Jesus wants to give you to his Father. Will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today so that he can take you home to meet his and your Heavenly Father? Accepting Christ as your Savior and your Lord is the best gift that you can give your earthly father, and it's the best gift that you can give your Heavenly Father too. And it's the best thing, and the best thing about this present that you can give is it's already been paid for. All we have to do is accept it. Our loving Heavenly Father, may we remember again this day just how much you love us. A love that we cannot understand. A love that we will study throughout eternity to try to grasp. And Father, thank you for sending your Son so that we could be called the sons and the daughters of God. Thank you, Jesus, for buying us back and for planning to take us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.